Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with me. It'll be my final day this week. Lee Kelly is in Thursday and Friday, but we have a lot to cover in this hour. Thanks for being with us. Hope that you're here with us every weekday. NBA basketball started last night. Good to have some basketball on television once again, and it means something. It's regular season basketball, not preseason NBA games. They can be pretty tough, but glad basketball back, at least at a professional level. I mentioned yesterday, 8 guys from IU connections, former players, at least attended school, played for the team at some point in the NBA, which you think about Indiana's success in March and ability to make the tournament or not make the tournament in some years and coaching changes and maybe disappointing Big Ten finishes at times. Some of the things that you aren't proud of if you're an IU fan, perhaps, and still pretty impressive that there were that many IU guys that made that are in the NBA to start the season. A really impressive number for, I think, where the Indiana program has generally been. So NBA ball underway, a lot to get to today. Glad you're with us. Let's jump right into the show. The guest lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham joining us today. First off, we've got our Hoosier headlines, our news and headlines of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. That's all in segment one. In our headlines today, we will take a look at a couple interesting things, staying on that NBA players with IU connections. A couple people yesterday text me or tweeted me and said, what about IU or what about NBA guys from the state, from Indiana high school basketball? So took a look at that. We'll take a look at that coming up in the headlines. Also, Keon Brooks, he set his final official visit. We'll talk some about that. And Marion Lukes, the standout junior for Charlestown, that's just had some unbelievable numbers in a lot of games so far this season. He's starting to get some college interest at the Division I level. We'll talk about that and more in our headlines today. Segment two is Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. You know, when Jeff is with me, we'll have lots of insight about IU basketball and perhaps a little recruiting as well. Might even get an opportunity to touch on the Penn State game. Of course, Hoosiers on the gridiron take on Penn State on Saturday when he joins us in segment two. Later in the program, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will be with us. We always talk through Southern Indiana sports headlines with Greg, the editor of our local paper, and it's especially fun this week because we have sectional football to talk about coming up on Friday night. Most teams in the area, except for Jeffersonville and a couple others maybe that have byes, the way the bracket is formatted, in action in this opening round of high school playoff football. You lose, you go home. We're getting into, I think, in the next couple of weeks, there's a handful of good games right out of the gate. But the next couple of weeks, we should have some really good matchups for some of our local teams and see who, if anybody, it's tough to win those football sectionals, who could maybe bring one home in this 2018 high school football season. That's the guest lineup. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I tell you what, yesterday talking about IU guys in the NBA, had people say, what about Indiana high school basketball? And it's clear that Indiana high school basketball over the years has produced a lot of guys that have went on to be professional players. But 16 guys, and this comes from Chris May at the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, 16 players who graduated from Indiana high schools in the IHSA or on opening day NBA rosters, which was yesterday. Another three players played at Indiana high schools maybe up to their junior year before graduating their final season at prep schools. And three NBA head coaches this season are Indiana high school graduates, and a lot of assistants. I mentioned yesterday as we were going off the air, Micah Shrewsbury from Jeffersonville, who's been a college coach at a lot of different levels, been an assistant at Purdue, been an assistant at Butler. He's now entering his sixth year at Boston. Hard to believe that, but a lot of connections in the NBA. Let's go through them. Park Tudor has two currently in the NBA. Trevon Blewett is at New Orleans. Also, Yogi Ferrell, of course, beginning his first season at Sacramento after being at Dallas. Pike has two as well. Courtney Lee of Indianapolis Pike is playing with New York. Jeff Teague is with Minnesota. Pike, I think, if you look back in recent years, has had the most NBA guys from the state, I'd say, over the last 10 or 15 years. They had the other Teague brother. They had another player as well, perhaps, at one time, maybe four in the NBA. So a lot have come from Pike recently. Other players, a lot of these will stand out to you. A couple of them may surprise you a little bit. Mike Conley Jr., Lawrence North, he's at Memphis this year in the NBA. Eric Gordon, I mentioned him yesterday, obviously an Indiana connection there as well at IU. He's North Central High School, Indianapolis. He's playing at Houston. Gary Harris at Hamilton Southeastern. He's playing this season at Denver. Gordon Hayward, we all remember him. He's playing at Boston, a graduate of Brownsburg High School. George Hill from Indianapolis Broad Ripple playing at Cleveland. This one had slipped my mind. Demetrius Jackson at Mishawaka Marion up north. He's playing at Philadelphia this year. Trey Lyles, Indianapolis Tech, playing at Denver. Etwan Moore from East Chicago, he's playing at New Orleans. Can't forget about Zach Randolph, one of the greats from Marion High School. He's playing at Sacramento. Glenn Robinson III, way up there at Lake Central High School. He's playing at Detroit. Caleb Swanigan, Homestead High School, went to Purdue for a year. He's at Portland. And Cody Zeller, of course, one of those IU guys we spoke about yesterday from Washington High School down in southwestern Indiana. He is playing at Charlotte. The coaches, Brad Stevens is probably the most notable guy that we all think about on a regular basis. So he was a Zionsville High School graduate just north of Indianapolis. He's obviously the head coach at Boston. But, you know, Greg Popovich, he might be the most successful by far. USA basketball coach, has won a gold medal, has won NBA championships. He's from the region, Merrillville, Indiana, Merrillville High School. He continues to coach at San Antonio. And I bet most of you could never get the third one, ever, unless somebody told you or you were able to look it up. But the third head coach from Indiana High School basketball, he's the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, is a gentleman named Terry Stotts. He's from Bloomington North High School. I had no idea myself either until I saw the list. But that's the 16 players from Indiana high schools, 19 if you include guys that left to graduate at prep schools. Those are the three high school head coaches, the three NBA head coaches from Indiana high schools. Just kind of underscores for a state that doesn't have a ton of population outside of Indianapolis and not multiple metropolitan areas for sure. It's quite an accomplishment, I think, that Indiana puts that much or has that many in the NBA for this season. Keon Brooks is our next headline. Lots and lots of talk about Trayce Jackson-Davis. He cut his schools down to just three on Friday night, but Keon Brooks also in the final stages of his process, although it could extend a little longer as well. He's made official visits thus far to Indiana and UCLA. Those are in the book. Those are done. Indiana, we believe, is in a really good place with him. This upcoming weekend, he will take his third of five visits. This will be Kentucky. And then he also had set previously a visit with North Carolina that will take place on the weekend of November 2nd. Yesterday, his mother announced that his final official visit is going to be Michigan State on November 16th. No real surprise that Michigan State will get a visit from Keon Brooks. I think a little surprising, Purdue doesn't get an official visit from Trayce Jackson-Davis. They get cut out of the list basically for official visits, although Keon Brooks didn't say he was limiting or cutting down his list to just those schools that he was taking official visits to, but Purdue doesn't get one for Keon Brooks either. Interesting as well, Michigan State might be the chief competition, at least locally, in the conference in the Midwest for both Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks as well. So Tom Izzo, Archie Miller, little head-to-head recruiting battles for players from the Hoosier State. We'll see how this stuff plays out. Also, I mentioned Marion Luke's going to talk a little bit about him in our headline segment today. What a junior year that he's had. It's hard to believe sometime he's still an underclassman and he'll be back for another year of high school football here in Southern Indiana. He rushed for 300 yards in five different games so far this season. He's totaled 2,398 yards and 26 touchdowns. And he's going to take a visit, just an unofficial visit, to Purdue this weekend when they take on Ohio State. So the visit to Purdue. I kind of wondered when would he get his first look at a Division I school. And maybe he's got others calling him, but good to know that he's going to be on a D1 campus for a big game. He deserves, I think, that type of attention with the numbers and the type of season that he has. And don't forget, he's got a younger brother that they say is really well also that's begun to get a little bit of varsity time too. So will be interesting to follow him in this recruiting and see how these numbers and his performances this year help him moving forward, and glad to know that he'll be back. He's been exciting to follow each Friday night. In addition to looking at all the scores and getting ready for our coverage here, it's been fun to see what Marion Luke's does. We kind of have the Marion Luke's watch every Friday night. That's the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesday. You know what that means at Hoopsters. You buy three or six traditional or boneless wings, and you get three or six free every Wednesday at Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. You buy three, you get three. You buy six, you get six. You buy boneless, you get boneless, etc. It's a great deal. Make sure you make plans to get there for lunch today after the show. Make sure you make plans to get there for dinner maybe later tonight. Definitely a great deal you want to take advantage of Wednesdays at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Coming up next is Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll take a deep look at IU basketball for the upcoming season. We'll catch a little recruiting updates as well from Jeff, who is always on top of his game. Greg Mengelt later in the show, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, will take a look at some Southern Indiana sports headlines. Also, don't forget, Friday night, Kentuckiana Football Fridays enters postseason mode. We've got a big one that will be focused on for the most part Friday. New Albany hosting Columbus East in the 5A football sectional. So many ranked teams out of those five teams that make up that sectional. So many competitive close scores if you look back to their matchups in the regular season. New Albany had Columbus East on the brink as much as anybody, probably more than anyone, not only this season but for many seasons, had a one-point loss to the Olympians at home earlier in the year. They'll try to avenge that loss. They haven't been playing maybe as well as they were at that time of year either. We'll see if New Albany can get it turned around. I think they got the athletes. They got the style to play with or perhaps beat Columbus East, but we'll see if they can pull off a shocker. We'll have the call for you Friday night right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget, Fridays we have 5-plus hours of local football coverage here on the Big X. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday edition of the show. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is my guest. Jeff, I mentioned yesterday with the opening night of NBA, eight guys with IU basketball connections. It led me to wonder how many guys with Indiana high school basketball connections in general. That number 16, 19, if you include a couple guys that went to prep school on the opening night of opening day, opening night, opening week, really, of NBA, especially when there's no college basketball to steal your attention away. It's really impressive, I think, two things. I'm not surprised by what Indiana high school basketball continues to produce as far as players that not only make the NBA, but go on to have nice careers, solid careers, some of them obviously stars for their teams. But I'm also impressed with the 8 that IU alumni have put into the NBA. I think that's a great number. Indiana hasn't necessarily had its best years of its basketball program the last 5-10 years, and it's neat to see, despite that, some really good players have come through IU. Some of those also are in-state guys as well. But lots of Indiana connections, both IU and Indiana high school basketball in the NBA this season.
Yeah, there definitely are, and I think that makes it really enjoyable for people. Because obviously there are some people who enjoy the high school game, the college game, maybe a little more than the NBA game. And when you have more connections, I think it adds to the level of interest. And, you got that situation tonight with the Pacers opening game. Obviously, Victor Oladipo playing for the Pacers, and, you know, you got one of the new guys from one of the rookies, you know, from Indiana High School, playing opposite of him with Jaren Jackson from Memphis. Obviously, Jaren started his high school career at Indianapolis Park Tudor, finished up at La Lemire. So you got that exact situation right there. So it's the thing that I think just makes it more enjoyable. And I think for some people, it gives them a little more connection to games. You know, when they say, you know, I remember seeing that guy in college or high school. I hear people talk about it like that. So I think it makes it fun.
I tell you what, I don't want to put you on the spot, but at one point, I believe, and I'm trying to look this up as we're talking, but I believe that Indianapolis Pike, I know they've got two guys in the league this year, but I think at one point, didn't Pike lead the Indiana High School scoreboard as far as NBA players? Courtney Lee, Jeff Teague, Marcus Teague, and was it Coach Hunter's son? Was that R.J. Hunter?
Yeah, R.J. Hunter, yeah.
That's impressive. Four players from one high school, and now they're not all still in the league, I don't believe. I think just two of the four are, based on the list I read in our headline segment. But now I've got it. Courtney Lee was drafted in 2008, Jeff Teague 2009, Marcus Teague 2012, R.J. Hunter 2015. First-round picks, four from Pike within a period of, 7 years? That's unbelievable, really.
It really is. It really is amazing. And, the Indiana metro area has had a player drafted. I can't get my notes to come up. My word file's freezing on me. I always update this every year. But I think it's 10 of the last 12 years. It's something like that. Because there was a streak where it got to be 7 or 8 years in a row. And then you look, obviously, around the state, and it's even, more than that. Indiana high schools, the whole Indiana high school scene, is really well represented in the NBA, and it has been for a number of years now. The Pike thing is really, that's pretty incredible. I remember RJ and I were texting the night of the draft, and, it was kind of funny because he was like, okay, tell me what you think. I was like, I think you're going first round. I said, no, I think you're going second round, but I think it's going to be early. And he's like, you think I'm really going to get drafted? I said, yeah, RJ, you're really going to get drafted. It's like, I'm like, dude, come on. I wouldn't mess with you on this. You're getting drafted. I've known you since you were a little kid running around at your dad's basketball camps. Calm down and enjoy it. And he's like, it's just so weird. I'm going to get drafted, like really drafted, like they're going to draft me. Like, yeah, RJ, they're really going to draft you, okay? So calm down and enjoy it, dude. But, It was just fun just to see, get a little, just to see what the players kind of feel, that, hey, this is real. This is really me, and this is really the NBA draft. Yeah, RJ, it's really you.
Pretty cool. And I know, of course, we think we may have another draft pick from the state of Indiana right here in southern Indiana. IU fans maybe don't necessarily want to hear that just yet because he hasn't played his first game as a Hoosier yet, and I'm sure there's some that would love for him to stick around for more than just the one season, but it looks very likely that representation of Indiana players and the guys with IU connections could increase again next year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, whatever you want to call it, 99.99% or whatever, it's as close to definite as it gets that Romeo Langford's going to be a first-round NBA draft pick next year. You know, NBA teams have already started doing the full background on him that they do for guys who they fully expect to be in that coming draft class, not drafted down the road. They're doing the work they do for the coming draft class. And I think it's going to be a wonderful thing for Romeo. You know, he's got a ton of ability. He's got a ton of potential. He's got really NBA-like physical attributes, measured right at 6'6", with a 6'10 wingspan. That's what NBA guards, that's what NBA wants its guards to look like physically. And obviously, I think everybody down in Southern Indiana saw him play. They know what his primary skills are. You know, his three-point shooting, you know, that's going to have to take another step, especially when we're talking about from distance. You know, that's one of the things he worked on, but that's going to have to take another step. You know, and his ability to really impact the whole game is kind of what NBA teams want to see. But I think he can show that. Getting a chance to see him practice some. You know, I thought there was times where you saw things in practice as far as passing goes, that maybe in a game, you know, it's, hey, you got to get points for your team to win. And he had a heavy scoring load on him. And he answered the bell every time on that I saw. Obviously, you know better than I do. But you know, I was very impressed that when you put when the team needs a guy that much, when he answers the bell every night, I think that's pretty impressive. But I think, you know, I think his passing is going to surprise some people maybe. And certainly, you know, he's working on defense. And, I mean, really being able to impact the game defensively, not just defend. There's going to be a lot of NBA scouts come through Assembly Hall, come through Cook Hall. There's going to be a lot of people in there to watch him, and they're fully expecting him to be in the NBA next year. So I think it's a wonderful thing for Southern Indiana, wonderful thing for the league, wonderful thing for New Albany High School and Coach Shannon and everybody who had a part in developing Romeo Langford, that, you know, this time next year, I mean, think about it. We're right at opening night. Opening night was last night for the NBA. Most of the other teams start tonight. So just think about this. Around this time next year, everybody around New Albany is going to get to sit down and watch Romeo Langford play in the NBA.
Yeah, be pretty cool for sure. I think about Josh Rogers, who was a high school pitcher at New Albany, went on to have a great baseball career at the University of Louisville and went up through the minor leagues, got traded from the Yankees to the Orioles organization. When he finally got his major league debut, and I think he pitched three times near the end of this season, but that, especially that first outing he had pitching for the Orioles, every place in New Albany that has good food and serves cold beer and encourages a sport type environment found a way to get that game on from the MLB package, and people absolutely packed a couple places to come in and watch him. And I would expect a very similar scene, like you say, Jeff, about 1 year from now.
Yeah, I think the barring the absolute unforeseen, I think that's what we're going to have occur. And so you get a number of really nice days. Obviously, he'll get to, you know, make his formal announcement whenever he, you know, puts his name in. You know, people get to follow along as he does some workouts for teams and the combine. If he does that, you have draft day. You know, people get to see his name called and him walk across the stage. You know, then the next day they'll fly him to whatever city the drafts him, and he'll have his introduction there. And then, you know, you'll have a lot of attention on him in fall camp and then opening day. So it'll be a really nice stretch from next year in the spring during the NBA combine and the individual workouts of individual teams all the way through through opening day.
Jeff Rapp, JohnsPeaks.com, my guest. Jeff, one more Romeo thing before we get into some other stuff. He was announced yesterday as a top 20 preseason candidate for the Jerry West Awards watch list, which is for the nation's top shooting guard. Also on there is Kyle Guy, who was an Indiana basketball, Mr. Basketball winner in previous years. I tell you what, it's a great list of players. A lot of guys that are coming back for year two or three of college ball. A handful of incoming freshmen like Romeo on the list. But you see his name on something like that. Although he hasn't played a college game yet, it's the same stuff we've mentioned. He's getting lots of praise, lots of hype, and it all goes back to what he did as a high school player, what he did throughout his recruiting process in some of the big shoe-sponsored things as well. And he's getting out there. There's no lack of him getting recognition even before he's officially stepped on the court.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he deserves it because he's a big-time player. He's going to be in the NBA in a year. He's going to have a pretty significant impact as a freshman. And he's getting recognized for who he is. And I know some of the old school folks say, well, you shouldn't give guys attention until they do something. And I understand that general theory, but the game has changed significantly, and freshmen now are a major impact part of it at a lot of different places. And Romeo Langford is going to be that for Indiana. We had a really spirited discussion on the Pigs.com premium forum the other day about what his freshman year is likely to look like. And the only concern that I really have for Romeo is I think some people's expectations of his scoring average are unbelievably inflated due to some of the stuff on YouTube. And I don't think it's really going to bother Romeo. I don't think it's going to bother Indiana. I don't think it's going to bother Archie Miller or any players on the IU team. But it was interesting. Some people were talking about he may average 25 or 30 a game. I'm like, whoa, guys, hang on a minute here. There hasn't been anybody averaged that at Big Ten in a long, long time. So I don't think it's going to be. I don't think his scoring is going to be anything like that. I think it's going to be somewhere between 15 and 18 per game, which is a very good player. So I would say the only thing that I worry about is, the narrative around him. If he's not out there getting 25 a game, or people going, hey, what's wrong? It's like, well, nothing's really wrong. You actually need to watch him play because he can play both ends, as you well know. So I think that's the only thing that I have a concern for him. And again, that's what I would call peripheral noise. It's not what's really going on with him. But other than that, I think he's getting the attention he deserves. I thought it was really honest that he was picked preseason first team All Big Ten, because I think that's the kind of season he's going to have. And I thought it was good to see some of the old school newspaper writers who, for years, just as a rule, they would refuse to vote a freshman, a preseason honor, because their argument was, well, he hadn't played any college games yet. How can you give him an honor when he hasn't played yet? I'm like, well, the preseason thing is a prediction of what likely is going to happen. It's not saying anybody's already done anything yet. Preseason, before season, hasn't started. And so it was nice to see some of the old school guys actually, vote him the preseason All Big Ten, because I think that's what he's going to end up being. I think he's going to be an All Big Ten player as a freshman. And this time next year, I think everybody is going to be able to kick back, turn on the TV, and watch Romeo Langford start his NBA career.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, with us Wednesdays here on the Hoosier Report. You have had some really good stuff, and this is nothing new with each major recruit that Indiana targets. You're on top of it, but you've had some really good stuff recently on Keon Brooks, who's at La La Mer. It's hard for me to get used to saying that. I keep wanting to say Fort Wayne North. I guess I wish he was still competing for a state championship this year, but such is life. But you had a chance to sit down with him at La La Mer within the last week or two at an open gym and really kind of catch up with him on his final six. Yesterday, his mother put out that he would be taking his fifth and final visit. We know he's got Kentucky coming up. He's got North Carolina, but the fifth and final will belong to Michigan State. So the narrative on him is set pretty solid on what the next couple weeks look like. And then from that point forward, even though a lot of people like Trace Jackson Davis think that Indiana's in really good shape with Keon Brooks, it's kind of a wait and see thing. Is he going to wait and get into the college season to see each of these coaches and how they handle their rosters and try to see himself out in specific positions and scenarios that they have told him throughout the recruitment process? or when the last official visit happens shortly after that, is he going to be ready to make his decision before games get underway? And if memory serves me correctly, I think Lyle Lemire maybe starts playing games a little bit earlier than some of the traditional high school teams that are members of the IHSAA. But with that said, you've got some great content on Keon Brooks at Pigs.com, which if you're a subscriber, you could check out. But what's your feeling and your comments on Michigan State getting the fifth visit and Purdue not getting a visit, and just generally where you see the Hoosiers with him? It's him and Trace Jackson Davis. That's all I get asked, is what's the status on those guys?
Sure, sure. Well, you know, those guys being two in-state five-stars, and IU having recruited them since the coaching change, and recruited them very, very hard. It makes sense that you know, those are the two guys that get the most attention. Let's start with Keon. Yeah, you know, I had a chance to get up to Lalamere several times this fall and watch some scrimmages, watch practice, and have several sit-down conversations. And, you know, the five schools to which he's going to end up taking official visits are the five schools he told me midsummer that he wanted to take official visits to. So even though it took a little while for him and his family to kind of go through everything, because they did have a big list, what we now know is Keon is going to end up visiting the schools that he's always wanted to visit. So this is kind of, even though it's taken a little time for the visits to come together, it's actually going kind of straight down the tracks as we expected it to in June, or as he actually said it to us that it would in June. So that's kind of one interesting piece. The Michigan State visit being announced last does not mean they're last of the schools involved. There's been some miscalculations by some folks who've kind of written some things based upon when official visits get scheduled. Do not put Michigan State way down on that list just because of the timing of the scheduling of the visit, because there was actually another date involved, something else came up. But if he had not been playing in USA basketball minicamp, the Michigan State visit would have been scheduled either first or second, and would have occurred much earlier. But with timing of his decision, you know, he's got two official visits in November. The November signing period runs November 14th to the 21st, and it's the latest it can possibly be because of the way the calendar works. So he could potentially sign in the fall, but he is really now starting to go through, or just now starting to go through, okay, I really like these schools for these reasons. Now, okay, what are the most important things for me, and how do I rank the schools based upon what's important on those things to me? It's kind of two different ways to look at it. It's one, it's like, okay, you know, I like these five cars. I'm going to buy one of these five cars. Okay, now, which one of the five am I going to buy? I like them all, but now I got to buy one. You know, it becomes a little bit different. So there's a chance he decides in November. There's also a chance he goes beyond that. Now, I don't think it's going to go all the way to the spring, even if it goes past November. He doesn't want this to just go, just to make it go to the spring. But right now it's 50-50 whether he has time, because their season's going to start. The practices are very competitive. He's got a legitimate school load. And when you're talking about taking official visits, you know, that's a lot involved. You, your parents packing up, traveling, you know, out to North Carolina for the weekend, coming back, get home late on Sunday, get up, back at school. You know, sometimes you need a window to actually sit down and think and be calm, get everybody around the table and kind of go through some things. So with where he is in his process, it's 50-50 whether it's a November decision or not. That's with Keon Brooks. Now, Trace Jackson Davis, barring a major change, he's going to decide here in the reasonable near future. Now, what exactly does that mean to a teenager? That's open to interpretation, and that depends upon which day you're talking to that teenager. And I don't say that sarcastically. That's just life when you're dealing with teenagers. Everybody who coaches and teaches and what have you, everybody understands what I just said. And everybody's probably nodding their head going, yep, I've dealt with that. But I do fully anticipate a fall decision from Trace Jackson Davis. Indiana's still the team to beat. They got to hold off Michigan State and UCLA at the end. I've thought for some time now, It was Indiana in the lead with Michigan State and UCLA trying to overcome them. Nothing has happened in the last several months that's changed my mind. Schools have done what I thought they would do. They did a really good job on official visits. The schools that I thought he was actually legitimately going to visit, he went and visited. The Wake Forest stuff that, you know, was kind of there on the periphery, but seemed like it was more peripheral than real. You know, that visit got canceled. So they're obviously out. He took the Iowa visit because he's close with Pat McCaffrey, Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey's son. And, you know, those guys became pretty close at a number of things. So, you know, that was a reasonable visit, understandable visit. And he kind of felt like, hey, you know, probably not going to Iowa. The Iowa coaches did a really good job. They worked really hard. They came to see me multiple times at my house, at my school. You know, I should probably, you know, give them a visit and let them make their pitch. Thought it was kind of almost an honorable thing to do. I really did. But I never for one second thought he was legitimately going to go play college basketball at Iowa. But I saw nothing wrong with him handling that the way he did. In fact, I actually thought there was some dignity and grace to that, and kindness, really, and friendship. So I thought that was okay. But I really think it's the Trace Jackson Davis recruitment kind of sits right now where it has been for a little while. I think, you know, Indiana's team to beat. And Michigan State and UCLA are trying to jump the team to beat as they come down the wire. You know, Michigan State's trying to hit him hard with, you know, a lot of the things of, you know, look what we've done with Nick Ward, look what we've done with Taron Jackson, look what we've done with other guys at your position, that kind of stuff. You know, Indiana has laid out a very clear plan for his development and how he will be utilized, how he will be grown, how they can get him to the point where not only did he have a successful college career, but he'll be able to get to the NBA. They've shown the, you know, the kind of players he'll be around. You know, when he's there, you know, you'll have older guys, you know, Jerome Hunter, Justin Smith, Robert Phinisee is your point guard. So, you know, it's a really good group, a really, really good group. I think IU players have done a really good job with Trace as well. He's built some meaningful connections there. And obviously, you know, he and Rome know each other really, really well. I'm obviously, barring the unforeseen, they'll never play together in college, but they know each other, and that's part of it. You know, and UCLA keeps hitting him with the whole idea of, you know, hey, yes, Steve Alford's from Indiana. He went to IU. Everybody understands the lure of IU, but, you know, why don't you do something different? Come out to the West Coast, get away from everything, no pressure, nobody's going to be watching your every move, do really well, you know, average a double-double, and maybe you get a chance to, you know, get to the NBA from out here, enjoy the weather, enjoy the beach, all the NBA trainers who were out here in L.A., that whole thing. So, you know, the recruiting pitches, you know, make sense, but I still think there's no question Indiana's the team to beat right now, and UCLA and Michigan State are trying to pass the car in front. And that's the way it happens in recruiting. And we'll see if they do or don't. But, you know, I think right now that's where things sit with Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com, as always. Great stuff. Jeff, enjoy the start of the NBA season. It'll help get us a little closer to the start of the IU official season and, of course, college basketball as a whole. Always enjoy your insight. You make hosting a radio program very easy, Jeff, by the way. And we'll talk with you again next Wednesday.
I hope that means I actually say things that make sense and I don't just talk too long.
No, it's great. Great stuff. And appreciate everything you bring to us on Wednesdays.
Hey, my pleasure, man. I'll see you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, always with us Wednesday. A lot of insight there on the recruitment of Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis. Jeff has watched this stuff not only with those two players, talk to those guys, knows the coaches, the AAU, the high school coaches, even the families around those guys. He's followed recruitments like this for years and years and years. So it's interesting to hear all of his takes and insight on the different options that these kids have. Of course, IU fans hoping ultimately both will commit to play their college basketball in Bloomington, but really good stuff from Jeff on not only the recruiting stuff, but a lot of Romeo talk today as well. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk some Southern Indiana sports headlines with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We've got high school football playoff sectionals getting underway on Friday. We've got some other tournaments coming to a close, and a lot of things going on here in Southern Indiana as the fall quickly going to become the winter here over the next few weeks, and we got high school basketball on tap as well. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Greg and wrap things up with Greg on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment means Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with us. The News and Tribune, a great partner of the Hoosier Report and the Big X Sports Radio. You can read their coverage of Southern Indiana sports each day at newsandtribune.com/sports. And you can also follow Greg and the sports team on Twitter at @NewsTribScores. Greg, a lot to get to in a short amount of time. I wanted to start with Marion Lukes. I mentioned in our headlines today that Marion would have an opportunity this weekend to visit the Purdue game. Purdue takes on Ohio State, over the weekend in a home game that Jeff Brohm's team will have. And that's great because he's had big-time numbers this season. I've always inquired about his recruiting, and I know he had a number of small schools that were pretty interested in him. Great to see a D1 program, a Big Ten program, in-state like Purdue, reach out and get him on campus for a game.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt he's that level of an athlete. You know, last Friday, right before kickoff, I talked to you and I said, well, a big part of what he does is his offensive line, and that's true. But in last Friday's game, I think he could have rushed for 300 yards without an offensive line because he just avoided and dodged and broke through that many tackles. So, man, that kid's good. And I know that he's, I think, said Central Michigan. He's visited, and Cincinnati, I know he really likes. So this is an interesting wrinkle as well. So I have a feeling it won't be his last visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. High school football this weekend, it goes from week 9 of the regular season to week 10, which is the first round of sectional games. I really like New Albany Columbus East. I say that hoping that it's the New Albany team we saw earlier in the year, the New Albany team we saw when they took on, hosted Columbus East the first time, which ended up as a 1-point loss at the very end of the contest for New Albany. If that's the New Albany team that comes out, Bulldogs could advance. Bulldogs could go on to win a sectional. If we see a New Albany team like what we've seen in more recent weeks, it could be a typical Columbus East score where they go on to win double digits or more.
Yeah, it's interesting with New Albany. I talked to Steve Cooley last night, and he said, you know, they're probably 5 or 6 plays away from being 9-0, and they think of themselves as that type of team, as kind of an unbeaten level team, and I get the mentality heading into that game. Columbus East, though, you know, they just find ways to win these games, and it's hard to imagine that they won't have their best game on Friday, and you know, the New Albany won't see the best of Columbus East on Friday, so New Albany better bring its best, because I guarantee you Bob Gaddis' team is going to bring its best in the first round of the playoffs. And yeah, hopefully we get a repeat of the first game and it comes down to the final play, because that was quite a game the first time.
Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. First week of the playoffs, first week of the sectionals, Jeff obviously has a bye, as all 6A teams do. Beside New Albany and Columbus East, what else are you guys focusing on?
Oh, that's going to be the main one. I think that's the game, probably the only game that we have that's what you would consider a toss-up. Obviously, Providence is the big story heading into the tournament, I think, as a sectional favorite.
and they have Switzerland County, Clarksville with Mitchell. Mitchell looks, you know, hung right there with Providence just a few weeks ago, kind of making them the third team in that sectional that has a chance to win it. You know, Silver Creek plays Scottsburg, who they are have already blown out. Charles Town plays Salem, who they've already blown out. Although, I will say this, I don't think they got Salem's best shot the first time. Salem's better than their 5-4 record. They're better than a 27-point loss, I think, to Charlestown the first time around. And with Brownstown on the horizon next week, potentially for Charlestown, you know, that has potential to be a tricky game. So I would say that would be the one to watch outside of New Albany and East.
Greg Mengelt of the News and Tribune, newsandtribune.com/sports, at News Trib Scores on Twitter. Let's talk a little high school basketball. Greg, when you think about the upcoming 18-19 season, I know we still have to get through football and volleyball, obviously getting to the regional level this week. We've got a lot of teams competing in that. Lee Kelly will have more on that for you, by the way, later in the week when he hosts Thursday and Friday's show for me. But when you think about the upcoming 18-19 basketball season, players in the area that jump to mind that you're excited to see when basketball gets back underway at the high school level?
Well, if you're talking about team level, I think you have to start with Silver Creek. I can't imagine that there's a better Class 3A team in Indiana than Silver Creek's going to be. And I'm not sure that they're not our best team completely, including the 4A teams this year. That's how good I think Silver Creek's going to be. And, you know, they're going to have three or four of the best players around as well. So, man, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be an incredible team, I think. You know, I've kind of already crowned them in my mind, and they got to go out and do it. But it's hard to imagine, isn't it, that they're not going to be at least a contender to win a state championship. And then you look at the Hoosier Hills Conference, and what excites me about that is I could see it going one of about 1,000 different ways. And you know, when you talk about Floyd Central, Jeffersonville, and New Albany, I think you could reasonably order them in any order between the three of them, and I think they'll probably be the three best teams in the Hoosier Hills Conference too. Bedford's got McCall Ray back and Brayton Bailey, so they should be there as well. But you know, I think that's going to be really the focus of the preseason, is which of those three teams is going to be the team to beat.
Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Individuals, Greg, you got Kobe Barnes at Floyd Central. Sure. You've got Trey Coleman at Jeffersonville. Along with those guys, anyone else you're kind of excited to see how they've developed over the summer?
Yeah, definitely. I think the most interesting story may be who's going to step up at New Albany. And toward the end of last year, really liked Derek Stevenson's game. He was known as a defensive stopper, but started to really show his offensive abilities as well. And Julian Hunter, I think, has kind of the skill, the ability to be able to be an elite athlete. So that's it. That's at New Albany. And Jeffersonville, you mentioned Coleman, but Jacob Jones, I really like his game as well. So I think every team has two or three players to kind of be excited about. You know, Christian Academy, of course. Bailey Conrad is a player who's just going to, I think, put up huge numbers at Christian Academy. So lots of players, exciting, a lot of exciting players to watch, and a lot of good teams, I think. It's going to be, you know, last year going into the season, you kind of knew how it was going to go. That it was going to be New Albany just a tiny bit better than Jeffersonville and Floyd Central. That's how you kind of expected things to go. And this year, you just kind of have no idea going in, except for the fact that Silver Creek's really, really good.
Greg Mengelt, sports editor, News and Tribune. Greg, you love the Pacers. They open tonight. Everybody excited about Victor Oladipo and this team for the future. I think they play Memphis in their opener tonight. I'm sure you'll be glued to a TV watching that one somewhere.
Yes, I will. In fact, I'm I'm going to leave work early tonight to watch the Pacers game. So very excited, very it's going to be a – I think it's going to be a lot of fun and this season, not just tonight, but the depth that they have is going to make for a great regular season. I have no idea what kind of playoff team they're going to be, but I can't imagine that they're not going to win, you know, 48 to 55 games with the depth that they have. And a lot of it's young, so as it develops, they're going to get better and better. You know, 10 deep, they're as good as any team in the NBA, I think, or in the Eastern Conference, at least on that level. So last year at this time, we were expecting about 25 wins, and this year we're expecting about 55. So quite a year last year.
Greg, thanks for the chat today. We always look forward to catching up on Wednesdays. We'll talk with you again Friday as we preview high school football for the opening week of sectional play in our pregame coverage. And until then, have a great week.
Thanks, Matt.
That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday show. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, if you miss a show or you miss a segment, there are a couple ways you can catch up with the Hoosier Report. We are on SoundCloud or Apple Podcast. On SoundCloud, you can download the app. It's free, or point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Apple Podcast, just open up that app. It's free as well. You can search for the Hoosier Report. Leave us a rating, if you would, and a review. That'll help us reach others that might want to listen to the Hoosier Report, a podcast radio show about IU basketball and Southern Indiana sports. Again, thanks for being with us. I'll be out Thursday and Friday. Lee Kelly is in Thursday and Friday for me, thanks to him. I'll be joining him on both days, I believe, for a quick segment to talk with you, but he'll have the show, and he's got some good stuff lined up, a lot of the normal stuff lined up. Tomorrow, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join him and more. That's going to wrap it up. Have a great Wednesday here in the middle of your week, and I'll talk with you when I get back. And Lee Kelly has you tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.